first time on this conference call. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on tonight.
Welcome. My pleasure.
Hi, Kim. It's Allison.
Hey, Allison. How's it going?
Just great.
Good.
We got lots of folks joining us tonight.
Seems like there's a few.
Great.
We should.
This is Wilma from Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
What's that? Who from Michigan?
Wilma from Mount Pleasant, Michigan. The center.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Looking forward to the information.
Oh, good. Okay.
Hi. This is Liana from Toronto.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Amit, are you on yet? Okay, he should be on very soon.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Amit, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Hi, how are you? Okay, so anybody else want to say hello before we get started?
Hi, Kim. John Mono in Tucson.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good, Kim.
Hi, I'm Laura Kisson from Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm sorry, your name again, please?
Laura Kisson. I am with TSMH.
Okay, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Oh, well, let's have about one more hello, and then we're going to go ahead and get started with the call. Anybody else want to say hi? Okay, well, then the format of the call is, as always, is I'm going to mute everybody out now so that only we'll only be able to hear Dr. Kareem and myself. And then I'll introduce Dr. Kareem, and then we'll do a formal interview for the first 45 or 50 minutes. And if we do have time at the very end, I'll open it up to the general grouping in case anybody wants their own questions answered or needs clarification on any of the things that came up during the interview. So hold on, everybody, while I mute you out. And first of all, I want to thank everybody for coming onto the call this evening, and really a special thank you to Dr. Amit Kareem. I can say Amit is a really good friend of mine, but on top of that, he's a very, very accomplished homeopath who has a tremendous amount of knowledge, especially in the area of repertories. Dr. Kareem is the author of two different books, Guides to Kent's Repertory, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to him a little bit about that this evening. And also another book, The Collected Works of Dr. Grimmer. And if you've ever had a chance to look at these books, you'll really can get a sense of the level of attention and care and detail he really puts into homeopathy and his real dedication and love for homeopathy. If you ever sit down and talk to Dr. Kareem for any period of time, you'll really get a sense not only of his incredible knowledge, but really his love for our healing art and science. So with that, thank you for being on the phone. Amit, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit louder because it's very hard to hear you?
Yeah, thank you very much for your kind introduction, Kim. And I feel very privileged to be here in front of our group and to talk to them about the repertory and what I've learned about it and share my knowledge.
Oh, well, that's great. Amit, are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
Can you use a regular phone?
Yes, sure.
Can you talk now?
Is this better now?
Yeah, that's quite a bit better.
Okay, fine.
Okay, and if you have that speaker, if you can shut it off, because it still seems to be an echo.
There's no speaker on now.
Okay, all right, good. All right, well, again, thank you so much for, I know you have a very busy schedule, a busy practice, and I thought the first question I should ask you is a little bit about your Guide to Kent's Repertory. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about what makes it unique or special or what people can get out of a book like this.
Well, what I think the book would be very useful is for people, even those who are experts, if they were to use this, they would understand how Kent structured the whole repertory. And it explains a lot of the repertory language. It goes through how the rubrics were structured. It also gives you how the rubrics are put together. It tells you about the anatomy that the repertory is full of. It has pictures of the anatomy. It also gives you a questionnaire that you can use to ask your patients. It has a chapter on special rubrics. It has a long history on case taking that was made up after my studying with a man called Dr. Pierre Schmidt, a well-known homeopath from Switzerland, who I had the privilege to learn under right in his office. And then it has much of some of the work of Dr. Grimmer in here also. There is also some papers here by Dr. Kent. There is a letter that Kent wrote to Margaret Tyler about how you should repertorize. And then there is a an appendix which has enumerated 31 advantages of the use of a repertory, and then one appendix giving Kent's paper that he wrote about how this repertory came about. So it has a collection of things that you normally don't find easily anywhere, and in that way it's quite useful.
Thank you, Ahmed. The title of your book is Guide to Kent's Repertory. I was curious, is it something that can be used for other repertories as well? I mean, like synthesis or the complete?
Yes.
And also, what about repertories that don't use a Kentian-type structure like the Benninghausen Therapeutic Pocketbook? Can it be used for repertories like that also?
It's very useful to use for repertories like the synthesis and also the complete repertory. I've used it mostly with synthesis, the structure of which follows closely the Kent repertory. Synthesis was extremely well done with a very, very, very good structure and with very scholarly people like Schroyens and his group of people. So my experience with it has been mainly with synthesis, but definitely it can be used with the complete repertory as well. I'm not sure about using it with Benninghausen's repertory so much because I do not have the experience with the Benninghausen repertory. My experience is mainly with the Kent repertory and with synthesis and some with the complete repertory, but the complete repertory has also got a similar structure.
And maybe you could just tell us a little bit about the advantages of using a book like this if with synthesis or with the completer. I mean, how would somebody use it? What advantages would they gain from the use of it?
Well, one thing which is useful if you use this book is it makes you aware of the structure. For example, on page 13 of this book, there is a scheme. They're called the modification of symptoms. And what that is a scheme for how the symptoms are modified. I found often that even people are not aware that the symptoms are modified according to six modifications, you know. Modification one according to time, I mean, according to side, and two according to time, three according to circumstances, conditions, four according to extension, five according to parts, and six according to the kind and character of the sensation. And five itself is again modified according to side, time, modalities extending to or more particular localization. And the same is true of the sensation. Usually it's the kind and character of pain. And that also goes through the five modifications. And the whole repertory is set up with this structure. And once you've understood this, then it is easy to manipulate yourself and to find the way through. And many ambiguities get completely cleared up, and I would be able to give you examples of these ambiguities that confused me a lot in the beginning until I discovered this scheme, this modification scheme. So that would be one advantage of it. The other advantage would, of course, be that using this book, the book takes you by the hand and gives you examples and takes you right to the very rubric itself and makes you look at it and read it and therefore become familiar with it, you know. That would be the other thing. I would say I would like to use Kent's words. He says, this repertory recites the passion of man from the cradle to the grave, from the garden of paradise to the consummation of centuries. Take this repertory, turn over its pages, it's very poetic, and read the holographic testament of the Son of Adam. From it we will learn what he does not think, will, and feel as was the intended in the secret design of providence. And then Kent lists about 30 symptoms that he gives from the repertory and comments on them. And finally he concludes saying, strange beings of a strange race, whence do you come? Where do you go? For what good are you? Did you come from the hands of the divine wisdom? Who was your architect? But the above named are only a few of the caricatures of heavenly man. Call up the roll and see. Defile before you the degenerated army of men. One and all bear the stigma of disgrace and the seed of pain and death. Call this fallen phalanx. Can this fallen phalanx not regain its former rank? Stop lawlessness, moral, physical, and organic. In man, apply to him the law of similars, and the prodigal son will turn from the trough of the swine, return to the table of his father. The Spanish fly that chirps, the oak that defies the storm, the rattlesnake that advances slyly, the snow roses that bloom, the cuttlefish in the sea, the lichen of the tree, the various metals on the earth, all one and all things correspond in the provings to the throes and laments of man. And it's rather poetic, but through this guide,
beautiful,
I'm hoping that people will get the spirit of Kent that he intended for this repertory.
It's very, very beautiful. You know, it's a question I ask a lot of our guests, is because there's a lot of people who feel that, I won't say a lot, but there are some people who feel that the repertory is no longer really needed in homeopathic practice. Now we have these different software programs, and you know, we can just search through Materia Medica texts. I'd like to hear what you think about that.
I mean, I think the softwares are marvelous.
Yeah.
I don't think that I would do without them now, but I like to have the spirit that is there in the repertory, which is incorporated in the software programs.
Sure, sure.
I want that spirit. And the software programs are indeed marvelous, whichever ones you use.
Sure.
So that's my feeling about it. I have been more a book person, and only more recently have I been somebody who has used the software. But I fully endorse the software.
Sure.
And using this book, I am able to use the software far more efficiently than I ever did before.
Using Guide to Kent's Repertory.
Yeah, this is a guide for any repertory.
Mm-hmm.
The word Kent came in because at the time I wrote it, that's the only repertory I had.
Sure.
I didn't have synthesis, and I didn't have a complete repertory. I only had Kent. So the word Kent came on, and many people have told me I should change the title to Guide to the Repertory.
Mm-hmm. Ami, could you maybe tell us a little bit about how you got into the writing of these books?
Yeah, it's a sort of a story, you know. I was a math student originally, and Pierre Schmidt had treated me when I was a young boy. And sometime in 1972, I actually had gone to medical school, and I went and visited Pierre Schmidt for another time, and he told me all about the work on the repertory. He was very kind and allowed me to spend 10 days in his library and to use his own personal copy of the repertory. In particular was a copy that in which had been copied the works of Kent's own second edition. There's a whole story behind that, in that the second edition of Kent's repertory was taken away from there, was kind of, if you wish, was robbed out of there by somebody who had worked in there. And Pierre Schmidt had been very distressed, and somehow or the other he thought that maybe I could recover it. And he said, will you see if you can do something? I said, I don't know. But because of the kindness of his previous wife, Madame Schmidt, she gave me a letter, and I went to look for this man. It was like finding a needle in a haystack. But as Providence would have it, I found him in a marketplace in Amritsar. And he explained to me what he had done and why he had run off, and said to me that if I could work with him, he would bring me this original of Kent's own copy of the second edition that Kent had corrected. And eventually, after 8 years, I was able to get it. And what we are doing is working with Archibald and putting this information into synthesis. It's very slow and long and painstaking because there are thousands of symptoms, but it's very rewarding that this treasure was recovered again. It's a bit like the movie Raiders of the
the Lost Ark.
What?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something of like that. And so I feel privileged to work with Archibald, with Frederick, and people like you. And that's how my interest began in the repertory. And then when I had met this man in India, whose name is Mittal, and he gave me his paper that had been presented at the LIGA conference in 1962, and he only gave it to me in bits, and it took me 2 or 3 years to finally get the whole thing together. I then put it together and wrote up whatever I could, and it turned out that George Vithulkas saw this and he was very interested and said, we've got to bring this to our public. So that's what motivated me to write this book called Guide to Ken's Repertory.
Mm.
And Vithulkas was very pleased with it and asked me to come and give a talk on it, which I did in Greece in 1997.
Mm.
The book had just come out then. So, and the other people who helped me were Reinhard Rosé and Peter Wint, who are well known to the people in Germany and
sure.
in Europe. So that's the story of this book, and the book has been used fairly successfully in Alonisos on 2 or 3 occasions. It has been used in America quite a bit, and I have many students who have written to me that they were really able to understand the repertory, and then they were able to pass some exams that they did.
Mm.
So that's encouraging, and I hope people use it to further their knowledge.
Well, it's certainly a wonderful book for anybody who's seen it. I mean, everything from the photographs in the back, you know, listing out the different parts of the body to the historical pieces. I mean, it's a lovely work. There's no question about it. Amit, I thought maybe another question that would be interesting to people is maybe a little bit about how you got involved with Dr. Grimmer and the collected works of Dr. Grimmer. I think maybe a lot of people don't even know very much about Dr. Grimmer. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about him and how you got involved with his work.
Right. Well, you know, Grimmer was among the chosen few, the close circle of Kent. And he came to Kent's teaching because he was selected in California by his preceptor called Dr. Hoffman. He was his preceptor in Helzberg, California. And Grimmer came from a family, the father of which had great faith in homeopathy, had a collection of 60 remedies, 60 important remedies, and had a book. In fact, I have a copy of that book by Johnson. It was called Johnson Family Guide. And already at age 7 and 8 in that mountain habitat, he had cured several people of serious diseases, including pneumonia. So Grimmer had become sort of a legend. And his preceptor finally arranged for Grimmer to go to Chicago and study under Kent. And Grimmer was very accomplished, and already as a sophomore, he was teaching Kent's classes and working in his clinics. And when Grimmer graduated, he joined Kent in his own clinic in Chicago at 108 South State Street. And the two worked there for many years until Kent really was very ill and retired to Montana, where he subsequently died. Grimmer continued that practice in Chicago, and eventually he retired in Florida. And his retirement address which is in this book of grammar, was very inspiring to me. It helped me many, many times in medical school when I'd get discouraged. It's called 57 Years in the Practice of Homeopathic Medicine, and it's in this grammar book, and it's really quite inspiring. So I got interested in grammar that way, and I had known of him originally because he cured a relative of ours who had an eczema of some 12, 13 years standing. This relative was in America, went to see Grimmer, and Grimmer cured him with a single prescription, with one single remedy. He gave him Calisulf, strangely enough, in the CM potency, caused a nice aggravation for 8 days, and then the eczema totally disappeared, never ever to return. It was kind of stunning. But Grimmer was known for this kind of work. So I had heard about him. I studied whatever I could get of him, and then I asked Erhard and Karl, because I knew they were associated with Grimmer. They directed me to this daughter, Audrey Winters, and I found her in 72. She entrusted to me the works of her father, giving me all his handwritten manuscripts, which took me several years to organize, and then finally they got done, and in 94, Reinhard Rosé and Peter Wint and I decided to publish it as a book. So that's how that book came into being, and it has been really marvelous to bring this work of such a master like Grimmer to the homeopathic public. Incidentally, Mrs. Winters died in January. She had a chronic lung disease, and it was her father's remedies that kept her going. I served as an aide and a humble physician to her, and it kept her happy and going till the very end. And then she died in her sleep very peacefully. It's sort of a nice way to go.
Mm.
So we have a lot of wonderful things to remember Grimmer by.
Mm.
And in that book, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of information about new remedies and the remedies he used. And there's information about homeopathic prophylaxis, because he was very successful. He's the one who introduced the polio vaccine, Lathyrus sativa.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very clever at doing that, because he learned about it, of course, from Materia Medica, in particular from Boricke. And the book has other things. It has many important essays to help homeopaths in their daily work. It has a large section on clinical cases, many of them in cancer. It has one on special diseases. It has an approach to treatment of alcoholism, flu, and heart disease. There are other papers there previously on typhoid. And then Grimmer was the one who introduced this idea of electronic reactions of Abrams, which is basically some radionics. He used that extensively in his work. And he introduced that idea by means of which he could narrow his choice of remedies. So that's an interesting aspect of his work.
Mm.
The book also has a repertory that I made from all his work. So it's been a very successful book, and I've had several people who have written to me quite happily with several cures of malignancy in their family members.
Mm.
I mean, one in particular was somebody with a big colon cancer that got cured with cadmium salve. Totally gone. So it was something that's good. I've also had personally seen cures of bladder cancer on 3 occasions, only using Grimmer's ideas. So I think that it was a successful book.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that Grimmer wrote more about treating and curing cancer than just about anybody. Have you had a lot of personal experience using his approaches in
I've used his recommendations. I mean, I've had some experience. I couldn't say I've had a lot of experience, but I've had 2 or 3 cases of bladder cancer very successfully cured just by using his Sabal Ceruleata. It was almost incredible. It was so
rapid. Could you tell us a little bit about that case?
About this bladder cancer?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, bladder cancer is a peculiar cancer. It comes from the epithelium of the bladder. And that epithelium comes from what is called a transitional cell epithelium. And the subal cellulata seems to have a real affinity for it. And what happened was in this one case that I first got was a barber who took care of females and males, who was at the end of his rope. He had had this bladder cancer treated and had surgery and chemotherapy, and finally he was going to have his ureter, you know, attached to his rectum. And he came to me as a last resort, and I used this subal cellulata. I had it in peculiar potencies. I had it in 18 and 24 and 30, and I started with the 18 potency in water every day. And much to my shock, in 3 weeks, he called me and said, I've postponed my surgery where in the ureter would be attached to the rectum. And he said, the physician can't understand why my cancer is so much receded. And then he proceeded to take the next potency I had. I think it was a 24 and then a 30. And then I never heard from him. I said, well, I guess he's not interested. He's gone. But what turned out was he sent me 30 or 35 patients. And then I learned that he was alive and doing well, and he never wanted to see anybody, any doctor again. So, and then somewhere around 1990, I lost track of it. And I don't know what happened to him.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and then there was another lady who also had this, and she used to get infusions of BCG vaccine into her bladder every 3 or 4 months after a cystoscopy. And she did equally well. And one day she stopped a friend of mine on the street and started to speak to him and told him the story, and he told her, well, oh, that's my friend, Kareem. So, and then there was another person. And then I've had some colon cancer. So Grimmer's work was very reliable. Didn't always get symptoms like in a repertory to prescribe from. You got mainly clinical symptoms to prescribe from. So that's how this Grimmer book got to be written. And I'm delighted that it has helped people.
Do you have any other interesting cases where you've used remedies that Dr. Grimmer recommended in particular that you found useful information? I'm asking because I think a lot of people are not familiar with his work, and I think maybe anything that you've confirmed might be very useful for people.
I'm sorry, your question is what?
Just if you have any other things that you've learned from Dr. Grimmer's work. I mean, you're probably one of the foremost scholars on Dr. Grimmer, so maybe you could tell us about some other things that you've discovered in his writings that have been helpful to you in your practice.
Well, I've used some of his quotes, ideas that he expressed in terms of remedy reactions and polarities in peculiar ways. You know, I've looked up those remedies and seen what group they fall into, and then I've gone back and looked at the group and then figured out other remedies in that group and gone and examined them from the point of view of Materia Medica. So, for example, I was able to find that Theonanthus virginica is a major remedy for gallbladder cancer. And that was from his work, and I have
Is the Theonanthus, the one that's usually considered a spleen remedy? Is this
Yes, you know, Theonanthus.
Yeah, Theonanthus, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it's also a remedy for gallbladder cancer. I've also used Calcarea arsenicosum for liver cancer with good result. That
mm-hmm.
came from him.
Any special indications with that?
The indications that Grimmer gave in his book are pretty good in the clinical cases that he had.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chapter there on clinical cures of cadmium, and in that he talks about Calcarea arsenicosum.
Mm.
There's also a pretty good case there of osteosarcoma, in which he used He used it was not one remedy, but he used a succession of remedies. One of them was a snake poison, moccasin snake.
Mm-hmm, moccasin snake.
Yeah, and that was followed by a very unusual remedy. It's a double salt of mercury called Mercurius Iodatum cum Kali Iodatum.
Mm.
It's a double salt of mercury. And that was particularly effective. And there are a couple of cases of that. There's also a long chapter there in Grimmer called Homeopathic Remedies That Have Cured Patients from Cancer. And there are about a list of 42 remedies with comments on them. So Grimmer was of that kind of a person. He was very intuitive. But his clinical stuff is first rate, you know. It's not the kind of work that you'll go and repertorize and come up with.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't find his remedies, you're right, through repertorization. But I think reading them in late-stage cancer cases is very useful.
Well, they are in synthesis.
Yeah.
We have incorporated those remedies into synthesis.
Right.
One of the things probably people would like to know is that the scheme of modifications that is used in the Kent repertory is really very, very useful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how well people know it, but to follow the scheme according to side, time, modalities, extension, parts, sensations, which are again modified over and over again, that is probably the most useful thing in Kent's repertory.
Mm.
And I have found that very useful because what has happened is it has guided me to quickly find the rubrics in the repertory.
Mm.
And then also make corrections because there are lots of printing errors in the repertory, as you can understand that it was such a huge work. And we are still correcting it. I don't know if people would like to me to comment on that.
Sure, yeah. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Well, I would like to perhaps give you an example of it. The simplest example is in the mind under despair. And if you go to, either you can go to synthesis or you can go to the repertory itself. And if you look under that rubric in the Kent repertory, you will see that there is no modality of sight. It's a mind symptom of despair, and there's no right and left side involved in here, you know. And let's see. The repertory, yeah. And then if you look at that in the original Kent repertory, and that's on page 35 in the Kent repertory, you would see then only modalities, which is the third modification, like chill, during chill, despair of health, despair during heat, despair from itching of the skin before menses, despair about others, despair with the pains. And then this simple rubric shows you how you break down the original rubric, this time mainly with the modification 3. Then as you take more complicated rubrics, you can use the scheme of which I enumerated earlier to follow this breakdown. In the section on the back where we have dorsal region, the dorsal region goes along the same way of modifications. And when it comes to the shoulder region, which is the scapulae, you might get, there's a way that you can easily get confused because it says scapulae, which is a plural of scapula. And that actually means that the prover did not distinguish between right and left. So in that particular rubric, which is fairly big, it could be either the right scapula or the left scapula. Then it classifies it into right, which then means it's only the right scapula. And after that, the sub-rubrics all belong to the right scapula. then it goes to the left scapula. And all those sub-rubrics only belong to the left scapula. Then when you come to the next page, it starts and tells you morning. So now it's confusing. Why does morning come up again? But then you realize that this morning is a time modification of the word scapulae, which was either right or left. So this morning means it could be either right scapula or left scapula. And then all the rubrics down there follow that same, you know, modification. I have a mnemonic for that, and I call it Saint MEPS. Saint MEPS is sight, time, modality extending to a particular region and then character of the pain. And it took me a long time. I used to be confused about this. And once I understood that, then this whole thing on back and scapula was completely clear to me and what it meant. So I've used a number scheme in my repertory. I have numbers. For example, the scapula gets the number 5, and then the modification according to time gets 2. So I would call that 5.2 when it says scapula, you know, like in the morning. I would, the right one would be 5.1, and then if that's modified again, I would call it 5.1.3 if it had circumstances. If that's modified, I would give it another number. And by doing that, I could keep these rubrics in order and could follow them along and go quickly from one to the other. And that's the thing that has not been explained before, and that's what I discovered with this Indian homeopath called Mittal, who had worked with Pierre Schmidt. So I've been fortunate that this has been passed on to me and from me to the community through this book, which is what motivated me to write this book. I got the material for this book in 1980, and that's a whole story in itself. I had to go into a remote part of India where this man had hidden this book in a field.
Could you tell us about that? That sounds very interesting, Amit.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you know about this man, Mittal. He took this book from Pierre Schmidt and ran away with it. And he was pursued by the Interpol. And he ran away with it, and he was a wanderer. He was a vagabond, and he went all over India. And he carried this book with him. He didn't let it out of his sight even when he went to the bathroom. And one fine day, when the police were after him, he had a panic. And what he did was he tore it to shreds. But fortunately, he had copied every single rubric and every single remedy in his own 6th edition. And what happened was, I pursued this very patiently over a period of 3 years. And finally, in 1980, when it was almost all lost, he decided to trust me with it because of Madame Schmidt. And I went to this little village in India, and I sat there while he went on a motorcycle into a field, dug up in the field where he had hidden it, took out a gunny bag where this repertory was, together with three or four other books. They were notes that Kent had given of Materia Medica in 1893, 1894, and 1895, and brought them and entrusted them to me. And so it was like really incredible. And I brought them with me to America. I was still doing my internship and gradually started to work on them. And that's the work of the repertory is the exact copy of Kent's second edition of his repertory. And I've verified about 1,000 to 1,500 entries. And they matched up with these little pieces of paper that he had cut up and which I found, together with this original Kent second edition. So that's what Frederick and myself and others are working on to publish. It's a sort of quite an adventure.
Amazing story.
Yeah, it's. I wrote something about it and presented it at the Liga conference, but that paper was not fully written up. It was written up only in parts. And the man, Diwan Harishchand, was rather upset about it all. So we didn't write a whole lot on it. But anyway, this is safe, and a lot of that information has been put into this Guide to Kent's Repertory. a lot of information learned there from with original papers of Kent, and this work is in that book. So whoever uses it will find it quite fascinating, not to mention that he'll learn stuff that he didn't know. So that's about the Kent repertory. It's a brief story. I mean, I normally spend 2 days when I teach it. And here we only have about half an hour, so it's just a smattering for people to taste. And if their appetite is wet, then they can satisfy it as much as they want. And through synthesis, they'd be able to follow this well, because synthesis is particularly well suited to this information. I'm not trying to sell synthesis. I'm not a synthesis salesman. I'm a user, but I find it very pleasant and very satisfying to use that computer program.
Ahmed, maybe we don't have too much time before I'm going to open up to the general group, but maybe you could share just some of the things that you learned about Kent or Grimmer that are interesting. Or, I mean, there's so much about these people's lives that we don't know. And, you know, it's particularly an auspicious day. I'll just let other people know that somebody, a very beloved person in homeopathy, passed away just the other day, and that was Christopher Ellithorpe. Christopher Ellithorpe was the person who was basically doing the homeopathic historical timeline on the Whole Health Now website, and he was a fairly young man. He has one of the largest collections of old homeopathic materials and resources. A lot of the materials that you see in Encyclopedia Homeopathica actually were scanned in from Christopher's personal library.
Was very sad to hear about it.
Yeah, and he was
a
wonderful man, really devoted and committed to homeopathy. I mean, you would go up to his home, and that's all. You know, he could tell you every little detail and talk to you about what type of cigar Hahnemann smokes. And anyway, he just passed away of a heart attack, so it's a sad day. But I think he would really appreciate a call like this with somebody like yourself, who has so much love for homeopathy and has so much interesting information to share. So maybe you could just maybe tell us a couple of interesting stories that you learned about in all your studies.
You mean about Kent?
Yeah, Kent or Grimmer, whatever you'd like to share.
Well, about Kent, whatever I learned about Kent, I actually put in this book. I know that Kent was a Swedenborgian. He believed very much in the work of Swedenborg. Some people take exception to that and think that it has no place and that he mixed up religion with it. But I don't believe so. I believe that what Kent did was he used the ideas that Swedenborg gave to suggest remedies. One of his things that very well people know was the so-called correspondence of organs. Like, he believed that the liver and the heart are very much connected. So people who had problems with the liver, he would very often look for heart disease. And with that, he would look for mind symptoms of the heart that had to do with hatred and love and anger. And when it came to lungs, he knew that lungs and kidney were connected and that the intellect would be affected. So Grimmer, in his own work, had learned these ideas from Kent, and he used them. And very often you would see him choosing a remedy with an uncanny skill, but he had used these ideas that he had learned from Kent because they had associated with each other for more than 4 years in the Chicago clinic. And some of this is unwritten, but you can see it in Grimmer's work. And if you read Kent's lesser writings where he speaks about it, and then you read some of the Materia Medica in Grimmer, and if you read about Grimmer's cases, you will see clearly these ideas shared. And this is something that the modern homeopaths would enjoy knowing and add to their knowledge, because they would then be able to choose remedies in a different way. And I'm quite sure that, you know, they would get very good results. If there is time, I may like to share one case that I had. I was called to the hospital here to see a man who was completely paralyzed. He was on a lung machine. He couldn't talk. And the only way he could answer was by blinking his eyes. He would blink his eyes, one for yes and two for no. And he had fallen ill because of Guillain-Barré syndrome. And I was a bit scared, frankly, that, you know, I was called on to treat this patient. I had to go to the hospital, and I was not even on the hospital staff. And I basically got the story that his paralysis had come on slowly, and it had gone from his feet up to his upper extremities and finally to his lungs. So he had an ascending paralysis. He had a diplopia. His eyes were half open, either during sleep or not during sleep. And I got that he had tingling in his hands and his feet. And he had a desire to be fanned. And he has always too hot. And that's how I saw him, completely quiet. He was being fed by tubes and stomach. And just by using the Kent repertory and looking at these symptoms, I came upon conium. And he got that remedy for several weeks. And the neurologist and the people there said he was going to die any day. His hospital bill at that time was $790,000. And over a period of 6 or 7 weeks, he recovered. And he is now back at work. This was in 1993. And it was just my stubbornness and my belief in Kent's work that this happened. I cannot ascribe to it anything of my brilliance. I only was a good steward and followed what I had learned. And I'd spoken to him about a year ago, and he's perfectly well. He's a newspaper reporter. And I mean, I'm just delighted that I could never have done this if I had not known of Kent's repertory.
Mm.
So these are just examples of some, you know, very hard and very difficult cases, which I could never have done had it not been for my faith in the Kent repertory. So this is a story of Kent, if you wish, you know. I don't know if there are some other people
who
want
to... I have one more question, and then I'll open it up to the group. But I know that Grimmer worked with the idea of radionics. Is this something that you've used in your practice, Ahmed?
Unfortunately, Grimmer left very little information about his radionic machine. And while there are some people who have it, to use it like he did is not really well known. His daughter knew something about it, but she died last month. And that knowledge is not available anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I had access to some of it, and I would go and try to sit with her. And she would tell me, well, this is what you have to do. You have to stroke it and put the patient's witness, as they call it, either a blood or a saliva sample, on one part of their drum and put the remedy on another part of the drum and see if you could get a stick reaction. But other than that, I don't know more than it. There are supposedly more modern radionic machines, but I don't have access to them.
And Ahmed, as far as you know, Kent never experimented with anything like that, did he?
No, not as far as I know.
Okay.
This was something that Grimmer learned by reading the book of Abrams, Albert Abrams, and I've spoken about it in this Grimmer book. I have actually a couple of Abrams books and his original experiments, but I don't have the expertise at all to try it in my practice. And I think I would really need to find somebody who knows it well and train firsthand under him before I could do it. Grimmer might have been such a person, and he very much wanted to share it with others, but many of his students just didn't understand it and didn't want to. After a while, they gave up. I mean, I know, for example, Dr. Ruth Rogers in Florida, came to him several times, but she finally gave up and said, I can't do it. So I don't think that, I think this thing is gone with him. And yet it was wonderful because he used it in many cases, not just cancer. He used it in alcoholism. He used it in chronic illness of many, many kinds. Many of the heart cases that are given here were solved by this way, by this particular method. So does anybody want to ask any other?
Yeah, let me open it up to the group. I just wanted to make sure that if people are...
Kim, let me just say, too, that we've got a really nice batch of all the guides to Kent Repertory in stock.
Oh, okay.
And there's a special order that we're going to have just to celebrate Dr. Karim speaking today. So if people are interested into the Kent's, you know, the Guide to Kent's Repertory, for $25, including shipping, we can fire one off to them. And they just have to put a little note online in the special instructions that they heard Dr. Grimmer. Or I'm sorry, heard Dr. Karim, and that's a good deal on this book. It's a beautiful book.
You might want to give me the URL, Allison.
Yeah, it's wholehealthnow.com/books, or they can call me toll free at 866-599-5950.
Thanks, Allison, and thank you, Dr. Karim. And I'm going to open it up to the general audience for people to ask questions. One second. Can people hear us?
Yes. Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Karim that they'd like to ask? We've only got a few minutes, but certainly time for a few questions.
I got a question. Dr. Karim, nice hearing from you, and Kim, as always, a wonderful program.
Thank you. I didn't get your name.
Andy from California.
Oh, yes, Andy. Yes, I know you.
How are you?
Yeah, hi there.
I grew up in Fairfield County, by the way.
Uh-huh.
That quote you... gave by Kent earlier. Is that in your book?
Which quote?
You gave a beautiful quote, a metaphysical type quote. From
yeah. That whole thing is in the book. And that came from a journal written in 1924, The Homeopathician. I don't know if you know that. That was a journal of Kent.
Sure, yeah. Well, I look forward to getting
and
your
that,
book and reading that.
Yeah, that whole quote is in The Homeopathician.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I could even tell you which number it is. Just a minute, I'll tell you.
Yeah, Andy, that was a beautiful quote, wasn't it?
Sure was, yeah.
Yeah, Andy, did you know Christopher Ellisthorpe?
Not personally.
Oh, he was a beautiful person, and I was very shocked and very sad to learn today from him
really.
That he died of a heart attack, you know?
Yeah, he was a young man, too.
Really quite terrible, right?
Is the work on his archives going to continue for EH?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll have access to those materials. It's just,
I would be happy to work with you, Kim, in any way.
Yeah, no, I know that.
I know that. I knew Christopher.
Yeah, I just don't want to bother his wife now. I mean, she's just, you know, gone through a pretty difficult time, so I'm just being patient to talk to her at a later time about it.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions anybody would like to ask?
I had one question, and I can't remember if this is Kent. You said, like, the liver and heart, there was a connection, and then maybe he looked at anger, the mental and the anger, and then you said lungs and something.
Lungs and kidney.
Kidney, thank
yeah.
you.
You know, in some sense, in physiology, lungs are responsible for acid-base balance. And kidney is also responsible for acid-base balance. And you can look at it in that sense, and you see that lungs and kidney are connected because they regulate the acid-base balance in the body. And liver is basically an organ that balances nutrition in the body. And heart, in another way, does because it has to do with blood. And blood circulation. So there is a connection in that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. By the way, that quote is from a student of Kent called Delmas, D-E-L-M-A-S. And it's in an article called The Tripod of the Repertory, which appears in the Homeopathician of January 1913. And I believe that is in Encyclopedia Homeopathica.
It is, yeah.
So you would find it there. I changed two or three words there because I thought it was necessary because it made some allusion to a certain religious group which could be offensive, so I just took out the name of that group. But that was the only change. There was no other change in there. But it is really Kent's quote that he passed on.
Ahmed, you were talking about a remedy at the very beginning for kidney cancer. Could you spell that remedy for everybody so everybody could hear it?
For what? For kidney?
You were talking about a remedy for kidney cancer?
Kidney cancer?
Yeah.
For bladder cancer.
Bladder cancer, maybe.
Yeah, it's Sabal Cerulata.
Can you spell it for everybody?
Yeah, Sabal Cerulata. Sabal Cerulata. Sabal Cerulata is that, what is the common medicine used?
Saw palmetto.
Palmetto.
Yeah.
But it's uncanny how much it has an affinity for the bladder, you know, for that transitional cell of the bladder, transitional
right.
cell epithelium. And it's quite great.
May I ask a question?
Yes, please.
I'm Julie from the Toronto area in Canada. I didn't catch Grimmer's work. Is this in the book, Kent's Repertory, or is this another book that we're dealing
with? No, that's another book. Again, that same people who have the Guide to Kent's Repertory, I believe they are going to have this Grimmer book.
Oh, it's not published yet?
Yes.
Oh,
it's been around since 1996.
That information is about the Grimmer book, I believe, is on the website.
Okay.
We were out of it for a little while, but Dr. Kareem has just located some more stock on that, so they are winging their way towards us as we speak.
And did Dr. Kareem write this book as well?
Yes.
Okay. What is your website again?
WholeHealthNow.com. And for the books, you go /books.
/books. Okay, why don't we have one more question, and then we'll wrap it up for the evening. Any final questions? Somebody would like to ask something?
Yeah, in relation to the example of the back, the pain, the scapula region, and Dr. Kareem talked about mourning being underneath that.
Yeah.
Is that related to left scapula, right, or is that its own time modality? I'm a little confused about the structure.
Yeah, well, you know, if you go to the original Kent repertory, and also if you use synthesis, then I don't know. Do you have a Kent repertory open?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, if you go to page 902, then you'll see dorsal region, and in the left column you'll see scapulae. Scapulae is plural for scapula. So that scapulae means it's either right or left, and the prover didn't tell you which it was. And right below that, because of that modification scheme, you see right. So that particularly pertains to right scapula. And then on the other column, 902, right column, you see left scapula. And then when you go to page 903, that continues. And then all of a sudden, you see mourning. And then you say, why, what is this mourning? What does it pertain to? Does it pertain to right or left? Actually, it pertains to scapulae, the plural. And it means right or left, and the prover didn't tell you which. And then all those rubrics, you would think of that mourning would be 5.2, because it means it's a time modality. And the evening is 5.2, and then the next ones are 5.3. And then as they get modified, you have to add those extra digits. And then on the other side, you have angle off and lower margin and under. And so it doesn't tell you whether it's the right or the left. It could be either. But it's this understanding which you need to know so that you can distinguish what is being talked about in this repertory, because otherwise you get mixed up. And that's what this book is endeavored to clarify, so that you can find these parts easily and understand them. It's something that I struggled with for quite a few months or years before I understood what was happening. And then I got this understanding eventually.
And then you put it in the book for everyone else. That's
yeah.
Well, thank you, everyone, very much. Ahmed, thank you so much for taking the time out to share with us.
And thank you for having me. I'm
very enjoyable for me personally, and I'm sure everyone else enjoyed it very much. And again, thank you, everybody. And we are going to be doing another call with Dr. Joseph Kellerstein, and you don't want to miss that one. Believe me when I tell you, Dr. Kellerstein is one of the best prescribers in North America, an excellent Hanumanian homeopath, tremendous knowledge, and not well known internationally, but
isn't he in Toronto?
He's in Toronto, yeah.
He's a very good person.
Very, very top level practitioner, very good teacher, very highly regarded in the Toronto area, and I can tell you you'll be thrilled to hear what he has to say.
When is his conference?
Let me look it up.
Thursday the 25th.
Thursday the 25th. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, and it's the regular time. 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
So it's a week from today.
A week from today. Yeah, and he's very, very good. So even if you haven't heard of him, get on the call because he'll have some incredible information to share about follow-up prescriptions, the second prescription, and how to manage your cases. He's very, very knowledgeable. So, again, thank you, everybody. Have a good evening, and look forward to talking to you on a future call.
Thank you very much, Kim.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Karim. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Dr. Karim.
Yes?
Hi. This is George Trom. I met you 3 years ago on the Farrakh Masters Conference.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I bought you two books from you. Is that the same books you're talking about?
Yes, they're the same books.
Okay, so I have it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.